Hey, everybody. Welcome to a cursed episode of Crimes, Killers, Cults.
And beer.
And that don't sound like Todd.
Hi, guys.
Okay. And joining us tonight, like last minute, due to like a whole shitload of like technical difficulties on Todd's part. We were ready to go and everything, and Todd had like internet issues and all that stuff and everything, and he wasn't able to do it. But he is still here and producing. He's talking with us through the chat service, but he's not able to do it as far as like his video or his audio is concerned. So at the very last minute, I sent a message. Actually, I didn't send a message. I actually picked up the phone and I called somebody that you guys on CKCB haven't met yet, but you're going to in a few days, but you're going to get to meet her early because she just bailed our asses out. So, you know, we're going to introduce right now, Nora Ashley. She is a troubled teen industry survivor. And we have already recorded two full-length episodes with her where she just basically goes to town on the troubled teen, you know, rehabilitation industry. And they're great episodes. Both of them are. And the next one, you know, the first of those two will actually be coming out on, well, this is coming out on Tuesday, the, I guess, 29th.
First. Isn't the first?
Well, this one's coming out on the 29th, this episode.
I was looking at the wrong calendar.
Yeah, but the CKCB episode with you, part one of the two-part episode, is going to be coming out on, the 2nd, I think?
On Friday?
Let me look.
That would be the 1st.
Late Friday night, the 1st, and a Saturday morning. So that's when that one would be coming out. So you're getting a preview of Nora. We love Nora, and you'll love her too. And you know, because those two episodes, they're already done. We're just waiting because we are going to launch her podcast with our. She's got a brand new podcast already. She's already an activist against the true crime. She's done a lot of stuff online with like Discord and TikTok and stuff like that. So, but now she's launching her own podcast. So we were proud to have her on, you know, to tell her story and, you know, in a two-part episode. And we're also proud to have her on to bail our asses out at the very last minute on an episode that's actually going to go out before her first episode. So Nora, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, just give them a teaser and then drop your links. Okay.
So I was abducted basically from my room at 16 years old and dumped in the middle of the wilderness. And that was my introduction to the troubled teen industry. This was in 2003 and I stayed till 2005. The last few years I've been focused on activism with it, really helping and supporting other survivors. I have a website that I've made that's all about it. Includes a lot of my writing, a lot of recent cases. It is thetroubledteenindustry.com. So check that out. And, you know, it's just been really incredible, like getting involved with survivors and seeing their journeys. So thank you guys for having me. I'm glad I wasn't busy.
Yeah, thank you for bailing us out.
No problem.
So yeah, you're getting a preview of her first episode. your first exposure to Nora is going to be several days before her actual thing. But you know what? We were in a pinch. I saw she was online. She's awesome. So I called her and I'm like, "Can you record right now?" And she's like, "Yes." So we did it. So anyway, yep. let's get on with this shit. Let's get on with this episode. And here we go. So this episode, like I said, is a request that we got from a listener, and her name is Dead Girl, and she's on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it.
I think I've seen her before.
Well,
I think I might have seen her before.
Yeah, her name is in like weird font.
Yeah.
On her chat. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I've come across her before. I'm not on Twitter much, but.
Oh. But she, you know, she sent us this case and everything, and she had sent it like about the same time that we did our first, when we were asking for a request when we first decided to start doing the episodes, the Half Pint episodes. So she, you know, we did the first one, obviously, which was Lester Eubanks and everything. So we're officially giving Dead Girl a shout out. Hey, Dead Girl, thanks for the suggestion. And we're also, as usual, as we started on the first Half Pint episode, we are, you know, Dead Girl gets a t-shirt because we used her suggestion.
That is awesome. I want a t-shirt.
We'll get you a t-shirt too. Okay. But the thing is, I mean, there are ways out. So, we're doing her episode. So I'm sorry. Everything's cursed on this podcast as usual. I mean, this hasn't gotten that. Hasn't been the worst, but it's up there. Anyway, let's jump into this. Thank you, Dead Girl, for the suggestion. And once we get t-shirts, you'll get one. Nora, you'll get one too, because awesome. You're awesome for bailing our asses out at the last minute.
No problem.
So, are you drinking anything?
Nope, I got my vape though.
I got mine. You doing karaoke tonight?
Yep. I got into a karaoke competition, so I got to practice.
Okay. I've won a couple of those over in my time.
Well, the grand prize is $1,500, so hopefully I'll get in the top three.
Well, I have a story to tell you about a karaoke contest that I declined to get into, but that's a story for another time.
Okay, sounds good.
But I did it out of fairness. Now that makes me sound like an asshole. I got to spill the story.
Okay.
Okay. So I go to this bar, they've got karaoke, and they all of a sudden announce, it's like, hey, everybody, we've got a karaoke contest coming up and the grand prize is going to be, it's no money. It's a bar tab. It's like $100 bar tab or whatever, which isn't going to last me very long.
Yeah.
But it was also, it's like, okay, you're going to get studio time where you can record, you know, go into the actual recording studio and record songs of you singing your favorite karaoke song. I'm like, I have a recording studio at home. I can do that in my house. So people are like, why aren't you getting in? I'm like, because I don't need the prize. The prize doesn't entice me at all. And I would hate to take it away from somebody else who might enjoy, you know, who might come across for that. So, you know, want to do it. So there you go. Short version.
Fair enough. I actually turned down a request from my journalism teacher for somebody to get extra credit because I know I'm going to have tons of opportunities because I was just like, I've been published in the Daily Mail, which was super cool last week. But yeah, I was like, I will take it if nobody else wants it.
Right.
Because I know I'll have plenty of chances.
Right. And honestly, I mean, I would have made it all the way to the finals, I'm sure. And that's not even being egotistical. That's just the truth. But all of a sudden, on the last night of qualification, I mean, I was there. I was watching the people do it. And there were some good singers there. But on the last night of qualifying, this big old huge black guy came in. And I'm talking like he was like 7 feet tall, probably weighed about 350 pounds. He looked like he played linebacker for an NFL team.
Was it the guy that picked me up and took me to Wilderness? It sounds like him.
Well, no, this is in Florida, but he got up there and he had the most amazing voice. I mean, it was just like perfect R&B stuff and everything. I mean, it's just like I'm like, I'm glad I didn't enter because I know I would be annihilated by him in the finals.
Right.
And it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. So it's just like, But he heard about it and he's like, oh, that sounds cool. So he shows up at this bar that he's never been to in his life and everything and just does it and then wins the whole damn thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, but still at the same time, you know, it's just, I didn't need to win a preliminary that, you know, nobody knew it at the time. It was all going to be like done at the end of the qualifying on the last round of qualifying by this stranger that just walks in and just takes over, you know? So, but anyway, enough digression, and you can give us a pass on this one, even though it's a half pint episode, because we had technical difficulties and we were able to pull it through and everything and still deliver an episode on Tuesday, like as in this coming Tuesday. It's Sunday now and everything. So yeah, we're able to deliver. So we do what it takes. So anyway, we're covering, this is a rough one. It's, we're covering Stacy Schuchert and Baby Ryan. The source is Dead Girl sent me the source, and it was the sufferthelittlechildrenblog.com. And the majority of it came out of this, you know, from this article. And I also got some inside information on this, which was kind of funny because on the first half pint episode, I talked about like unsolved this case isn't unsolved, but I talked about how unsolved cases and everything, I'm not going to be able to get inside information on every single case that we do. But Dead Girl knew this Stacy Schuchert, and she gave me her take on it. So once again, I've got information right after saying that I wasn't going to get any inside information.
That is awesome.
So this is awesome. Okay. So we're going to get through this. I'm not going to try and rush it, but we're, my lovely lady just showed up thinking that we'd be almost done and we're just getting started. So, but I'm going to get through it and give Dead Girl the respect on her request that she deserves. So sound good?
Yep. Sounds good to me.
All right, let's do it. So Friday on August 16th of 2019, the Bellevue Dayton Fire Department responded to a home in Dayton, Kentucky after receiving a report of a child not breathing. The child was Sean Ryan Buttery Jr., nicknamed Ryan. And Ryan was just 2 days short of 18 months old, and he was just starting to get good at walking at that point, which, as most 18-month-olds are. So when medics arrived, Ryan was in full cardiac and respiratory arrest. While attempting to, you know, CPR and whatnot, the medics noted what appeared to be prior contusions and lacerations on the baby's body. Are you hearing me, Nora?
Yep. I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, you can comment too.
Okay.
So Ryan's mother, then 29-year-old Stacy Nellie Othma Schuchert, what's up with the names? She told police that while she was baking cinnamon rolls in the kitchen, her son Ryan fell and hit his head on the microwave. How the hell do you fall and hit your head on the microwave? Was that on the floor?
Well, and then he also fell from there and hit his head on the floor again, right?
Right. But was the microwave on the floor? He's 18 months old. He's not counter high yet. Not even close. He's not going to bump his head on
the
microwave.
The only way that's even feasible is if she was holding him.
That, or maybe they had one of those lower microwave stands could be, but that's not specified.
Yeah, like, the only way that it would be even close to feasible is if she had been holding him and dropped him.
Right. But she, but still, I have seen lower, like microwave stands that are like 3 feet off the ground, but still, even, you know, he's not going to hit the microwave. He's going to hit the microwave stand.
Right.
You know, because an 18-year-old ain't 3 feet tall yet.
Yeah.
Might be getting close, but not there yet. Not going to hit the head on the microwave. But yeah, like you were saying, he hit his head on the floor again. And at the time of Ryan's injury, only he and his mother and his 3-year-old sister were home. Mm-hmm. This girl had a lot of kids. Like,
she was pregnant with her 7th.
Yeah, and didn't have legal custody of. Well, the only one she had legal custody of is the one she was pregnant with.
Yeah.
So she had had, they had, all of her kids have been taken and everything, which, you know, I mean.
And he had been taken. They just returned him to them the day before this happened.
Right. Now, was it, I kind of, you know, like last minute on this, was this, like you did, was this, I mean, was she returned to, was Ryan returned to her permanently, or was it just a visit?
I think so. I'd have to look into it a little bit more. This article doesn't say, the one that you're quoting from doesn't say,
but
I'd have to dig into it more. But yeah, they just returned him to them the day before.
Yeah. But several other of her kids were at school, and Sean Buttery, who was Stacy's boyfriend and Ryan's father, he was at work in Kenton County, Kentucky at the time. And Stacy was 9 months pregnant with her 7th child, as you were saying. The little girl would be Sean's 3rd child, and all 3 of whom he shared with Stacy. And so that would be babies 4, 5, and 6, and then pregnant
with, the 7th.
With number 7. And it doesn't say whether that was also Sean's kid or not. I'm assuming that it probably wasn't.
Right.
So, but then it says, like, on that day, none of Stacy's children were legally in her custody. So Ryan had been taken from her from birth and placed with a foster family until just a few months prior, which was when he was placed with Stacy's sister. So it's just like, I'm thinking it was just, she hadn't gotten Ryan back. I'm thinking that it was just more like a babysitting type of issue, babysitting type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look into this. It says that he left his foster family's home the day before. So I it doesn't say here. I've looked through a couple of articles. They all kind of say the same thing. Just that he left the foster family's home the day before, and that's a quote from the grandmother, from Stacy's mother.
Okay. So, Detective Peter Shearlo was dispatched to the scene for a child endangerment call, but on his way, he received word that the call had been elevated as paramedics, and yeah, they were performing CPR on Ryan. Mm-hmm. And this is. Yeah, I mean, it's just this one's rough. So, Todd, if you're listening, it's probably a good idea you check out, because you don't like stuff like this. But when the detective Shearlo arrived at the home, Dayton's fire chief was carrying Ryan to the ambulance, and as the chief passed him, he says, "Something suspicious here." Ryan was rushed to the Cincinnati Children's Hospital, where a few hours later he died. An autopsy was conducted, and the coroner's report contained a laundry list of injuries that Ryan had sustained.
Want me to read those?
Yeah, you can go ahead and read them. I mean, we need to start making fun of this bitch at some point.
Yeah. We will. 4 pelvis fractures, 2 in the front, 2 in the back. His bladder had been detached from his skeletal system. There was severe internal bleeding, head and skull fractures, as well as multiple fractures all over the rest of his body, including a broken arm.
Yeah, so.
Cause of death was ruled to be homicidal violence.
Right. So he was basically stomped.
Yeah, what the coroner said is the level of trauma. This is the level of trauma that she would expect to see in a serious car accident.
Right, And it's just, I mean, yeah, it's basically stomped to death. I mean, like, you know, you go old school in the WWE. You remember that there was one wrestler who just like went like stomp, 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 like all around the body or whatever. That's what I picked.
I had a Mormon family. I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Oh, okay. Well, I watched things when I wasn't supposed to back when I was in a similar.
I did too.
Actually, that was in the late 80s when I had gotten.
That's how I found Motley Crue. It was their Behind the Music of all things was on VH1.
That was the first
right
time
after the
Motley
Monkees.
Crue?
Yeah.
That was, oh, damn.
I was like 10, 11.
Damn. Well, you know, better late than never. I mean, you know, the heavy metal community welcomed
it. Changed
all.
My world.
Of course it did. It did, like, you know, when, you know, when I first discovered the minor chords on guitar, it was just like, oh boy, I love this. And that later led me to, you know, wound up leading me to heavy metal. So
yeah,
that's all part of my episode of our episode 10 and 11, by the way. But the person that did, the lady that did the autopsy, she also said that Ryan's injuries were anything, you know, were unlike anything that she had ever seen due to a home accident. And the baby, well, you already said that. But she believed that Ryan's head injuries were caused by a series of forceful blows, which, you know, I'm pretty sure it was more than likely, like I said, stomping.
That's what they said, that they said that it may have been caused by. But I'm wondering, because she said that he hit his head on the microwave, the implication there would be that she was holding him. I wonder if she was slamming his head against the corner of the counter.
Or the microwave that was up on the counter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that area, because she mentioned the microwave, that area is very important to the scene and how it happened.
Yeah, and I wish they had said, okay, was the microwave up on the counter, or was it like on one of those, like, you know, microwave stands that are like 3 feet tall? Because, I mean, that really makes a big difference here. Because, I mean, you don't just, I don't know. I mean, that whole thing, you know, in this, and this is the most detailed breakdown of the story that you're going to find. I want to know how Stacy explained the kid getting, you know, falling and hitting the head of the microwave. You know?
I have no idea.
It just makes no sense.
No, so. but the fact that she mentioned the microwave, knowing what I do about psychology and criminal psychology, the microwave was involved in some way or another.
Yeah, well, at least she didn't stuff him into it.
Oh my God. That's exactly right.
But, because that would have been even worse on the poor kid.
So they ended up arresting her like a week later. She was charged with first degree manslaughter. Do you know why that charge was dropped? Did she make a plea agreement or something like that?
No, I don't. I think at this point they were just grasping at straws or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't. My guess is that maybe they hadn't run forensic tests or whatever, or maybe the area had been cleaned to the point to where forensic testing wasn't an option.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think about that. It's like, why wasn't she charged with first degree murder, seeing as she was the only adult there? And
it
says like prior. So it prior injuries that the baby had. It doesn't say how old those injuries were. Prior injuries could be a day or two before, or they could be a month or two before, you know. It just doesn't say. And that was one thing that that Dead Girl expressed frustration about when I was talking to her. Mm-hmm. She was just like, there's just not a lot of information. It's like nobody, she actually says, we'll cover that and, you know, like her side of it because she knew Stacy, but we'll get there. But she basically, it's like, it seems like nobody cares about this baby.
Right.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you do.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, I remember reading, I've always been like stoic and like almost humorous when talking about, you know, gory shit. And like I fall asleep listening to true crime stuff. That's pretty, gets into pretty detailed stuff. But like when I was pregnant with my first, I couldn't handle anything with kids at all. And I mean, having kids, it kind of hits a little differently too. Like I can't, because I have kids, it's almost like I understand, like, and it's even harder for me to fathom how that could have happened. Like who yeah. does that to their own kid?
Yeah. And I don't understand. Yeah. It just, you know, only cowards beat up on a kid.
Yeah. I wonder if they interviewed the 3-year-old.
I don't know, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that that if there had been an interview, dead girl would have known about it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, yeah, it's just when I read that, I took them in the order received. We did the Leslie.
Here we go. The children were reportedly not allowed to be in Shuart's care and had been living illegally with her for almost a month. According to the Cincinnati Inquirer, the children were placed in temporary custody of her sister as ordered by the court.
So we're talking about kidnapping.
Yeah. Basically.
So why didn't her sister...
Non-custodial parental kidnapping, yeah.
So why didn't her sister report it? Because it was her sister?
My guess is that the sister allowed it to happen. Like, you know, if you're willing to take care of your kids, fine, take them. Well, that's for me to do, kind of attitude.
Yeah, but, I mean, we're about to get into her backstory
mm-hmm.
a little bit. And it's just, like I said, I skimmed this article. I decided to do it, like, today and that we would fast track it. So I really haven't had a chance to go through it.
Yeah, but, I'm kind of researching as we go.
No, you're, damn, I mean, you're good. I mean, I just...
My dad is a research physician. I was trained from a very young age to research and do it very quickly. And journalistic research is one of my best, like, strongest research skills.
I wish you didn't have your own podcast because we would keep you.
Well, you still can.
Oh, by the way, in private chat, when I said that... that Todd probably wouldn't have wanted to do this one anyway because of.
Oh, I see it now.
Yeah, he said, thank you. You're welcome, Todd. Todd's playing a producer role right now.
Yep.
But, so. Stacy was arrested on Friday, September 13th, 2019, and she was booked into the Campbell County Detention Center, and she was held on $1 million bond. So Stacy's arraignment took place at the Campbell County Courthouse on Wednesday, September 18th. And she appeared before the Newport District Judge Karen A. Thomas via video monitor from the jail.
Mm-hmm.
Funny story. I'm going to digress here a little bit because this is funny. When I was going through a court proceeding, I'm not going to say what it was. Cause that doesn't matter, but, I was backed up to a Best Buy store getting unloaded and everything. And I had to do one of these, it wasn't video, thank God, but it was, it was audio. It was phone. Well, I'm sitting there waiting and everything.
Was it one of those old rotary phones?
No, it was a cell phone. I mean, this was a couple years ago. But I...
That was an old joke, by the way.
Yeah. But I... I'm sitting here waiting, and a nature called. And not the easy kind, the other kind. Mm-hmm. So it's just like I have ways of doing this inside of the truck. So I did it, and right as I was doing it, there's a Mr. Selby. So I'm talking to Court while I'm taking a dump.
That's hilarious.
So I, anyway, hashtag, but I digress. But, she entered a not guilty, or the judge entered a not guilty plea on Stacy's behalf, and he refused to reduce her $1 million bond, basing it on the magnitude of the crime and the injuries alleged, and the fact that she considered Stacy a flight risk because of Stacy's prior criminal record, which included charges of first degree bail jumping, violation of probation, along with felony identity theft. She's a real winner, this bitch.
Right? I want to know more about her husband. What's wrong with him?
I think we're getting there. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, I just skimmed through this article and everything, but...
Because you've got to be like... You can't be totally normal to be married to someone like this.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have my own thoughts on that, but I mean...
You know more about the behind-the-scenes stuff than I do.
Yeah, and it's just... It just depends. It's just like if you get involved with a person that's like a total full blown abusive narcissist, which it sounds like Stacy is, then guess what? You know, it's just
that's
like,
very true.
Yeah, it's she could have been a total angel with what, four kids when they got together, mm-hmm. And at the time she was probably in her she was 29 when this took place. So yeah. She didn't know how to keep her legs closed or use birth control.
Nope.
When Stacy told the judge she couldn't afford an attorney, the judge appointed a public defender.
Oh yeah.
Who asked if Stacy could be released with the signature of a parent or perhaps with an ankle monitor. And the judge's response was, absolutely not. I've made my ruling. Like, fuck off, bitch.
Right? That's what I thought when I said that, when I read that. I was like, yes.
I love those zingers from judges. They're
too.
Because the judges that give you zingers like that are the best judges.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, but, I mean.
Because you know they've seen some shit.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's just like, can you, the public defender or whatever. Can we get a signature from her parents? Like, she's a fucking kid. She's 29 years old.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's fucking, it's like, really?
Now I'm curious as to what her upbringing was like. Like, what's her family like?
I think we're getting there. I think we are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I skimmed through this. I was just like, you know, and it's like what I saw is just like, okay, yeah, we're doing this. Yes. Thank you, dead girl. So, the same week Stacy was assigned her, you know, she was arraigned on the manslaughter charge. But Sean Buttery's mother, Teresa Durham, spoke with the press about the loss of her grandson and how it was affecting her son. And she said, he's lost. My son is lost and it breaks his heart. I couldn't even, you know, think about hurting my children. What parent could? You know, and Teresa... She said that she will never forget seeing Ryan's lifeless body, but she clung to the memory of his smiling face. And instead, according to Teresa, both Stacy and Sean had struggled with drug addiction in the past, but had been trying to regain custody of their children. In fact, Ryan was only removed from his foster care pet. Damn it, I was doing so good. Ryan was removed from his foster family and placed in Stacy and Sean's home on Thursday, August 15th, the day before he died. Now, that's fucking rough.
Oh, so the sister was the foster family.
Yeah, and they and Ryan got put back in there. But earlier in the article, it said that Ryan wasn't there legally.
No, yeah. What I found said that they'd been living there illegally for a month. And I wonder if, like, the aunt had taken him back for a couple days and gave him back to the family or whatever.
Yeah, it could be. But but the day before they got him, the next day the baby's dead, Teresa lamented. Yeah, she said, I don't want his death to be in vain. I want something to come out of this. Mm-hmm. You know, change so that these children quit falling through the cracks. But however, I mean, she's saying this now, and I'm not blaming Teresa. Teresa is Sean's mother. I'm not blaming her at all, but still, it's just like, if anything, the fault there is on the children families thing. It's like, why would you put this child back into the situation? You know, she's got eight kids from 12 different daddies. I mean, damn.
That's not the right math. That doesn't quite work.
But I don't know. It's, but still, I mean, that's what it seems like sometimes. I mean, damn.
Yeah.
But the couple's two daughters, a 3-year-old and a 1-month-old, they were in foster care, but Sean had regular visitation with his girls, but Stacy did not have the visitation.
Right. Yeah, he had the visitation, but she didn't.
So why put Ryan there?
Good question.
On Thursday, September 26th, Campbell County Commonwealth Attorney Michelle Snodgrass questioned Detective Shirlo in court regarding the investigation into Ryan's death. The detective cited the coroner's report, which listed injuries including multiple traumas to the head, which would have had significant immediate neurological impairment, a forearm fracture, at least 4 pelvic fractures consistent with someone stomping the child. Like I said, you know, a tear from Ryan's lip measuring 3/4 inches by 3/4 inches, a displaced bladder, and bruising all over. What the hell is an 18-month-old kid gonna do to piss somebody off that fucking bad? I mean, it's just...
You've got to have no concern for human life at all whatsoever.
Exactly. I mean...
Like you said, she was probably a hardcore severe narcissist, which wouldn't surprise me.
Well, probably a either former or current meth head.
Yeah, no, she probably is. She looks like it.
Yeah, she does. Her pictures are not flattering at all. But the thing
which is really disturbing, considering she's 9 months pregnant. That pisses
right.
me off.
Well, I mean, there's no saying whether she was actively using meth or not, but I'm sure she was. But still, Detective Shirlo said that Stacy did not have custody of Ryan when he was fatally injured. But we're right back to that again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's like different stories coming off of those. He said that the baby was supposed to be with the sister in Erlanger, Kentucky, but that several of Stacy's children were sent to her home throughout the week so that they can attend school in Dayton. Mm-hmm. This is hold on. I'll give my opinion once I get the rest of the information.
Okay.
I skimmed through this because, like I said, we were initially going to we already had an episode released for the second episode, but I'm like, you know what? That one wasn't a request. This one was. I'm like, let's fast track the request. Thank you, dead girl. But The sister was responsible for keeping these children safe, but she apparently saw it fit to allow the mother to care for them throughout the week, unsupervised, even though CPS and at least one judge clearly disagreed. Okay, so there we are. We were speculating that earlier.
I wonder if there was anything, because this is really common in the foster and adoption world, I wonder if she did that to save money on childcare, even though the state was paying for childcare, so she could like pocket that money.
From what I just read, I don't see that. I don't see that being the case. I see this as just like
basically, like she meant well because she wanted to give the parents time with their kids, kind of thing.
Either that or maybe she, you know, just needed a break or whatever.
Right.
But I'm sorry, I'd rather pay a babysitter $20 an hour than leave my kid with somebody that's lost like every all kid the they've kids. Ever had when they've had like seven.
They already, you know, lost like six, that kid.
Six kids and they're already and like about to deliver another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, God, I hate this story. But the judge ruled that there was enough evidence to have Stacy's case transferred immediately to a grand jury on the manslaughter charge. Stacy faced 10 to 20 years in prison, but that's not how the story ends. On November 14th, 2019, the grand jury... the grand jury convened to dismiss Stacy's the grand jury convened to dismiss Stacy's man. God damn it.
I'm liking this. This is fun.
Todd's laughing his ass off because I'm up to five now. I think that's a new record.
Todd, I hope you're editing this as we go. Like you are, right?
No, I'll have to edit it. No, we leave me getting tongue tied. We leave that in because it's funny. No, he's listening. He's just LOL on the.
Yeah,
on the
I saw that. Chat.
So. Oh shit! But all right, let's try that again. Anybody want to take an over and under on if I screw up manslaughter again? I guess not. On November 14th, Todd says you will. On November 14th of 2019, the grand jury convened to dismiss Stacy's manslaughter charge and instead handed down an indictment of wanton murder, which if Stacy's convicted, could earn her 20 to 50 years in prison.
They gave her 35.
Yeah. Her next court date was scheduled for October 7th, 2020.
She was sentenced on March 29th, 2022, to 35 years.
Well, hold on. We're going to get into a little bit of her backstory now. So Stacy Nellie Othma Schuchart was born on December 18th, 1989, to mother Terry Singleton. Todd says, thanks for bailing me out.
Yep, no problem.
Yeah, and he was going to do it. It wasn't he knew what the story entailed, but he was going to do it anyway, but it was literally just technical difficulties on his end that prevented him from doing it. You know, his internet was being janky, and he has Spectrum, and I've been telling him for months that he needs to upgrade to Metro T-Mobile internet, which is what I have, and I have not had one single issue since January when I first hooked it up.
Nice.
I know you're listening, Todd, and you can't threaten my life right now for even bringing it up, but Spectrum sucks. Fix that shit.
Yes, I agree.
he says, I know. Quit your bragging.
Go!
Stacy Nellie Othma Schuchart was born on December 18th, 1989, to mother Terry Singleton. No father was listed on her birth certificate. And like I, you know, surprise, surprise. And I'm not knocking, you know, women in that situation because, I mean, it happens. But, you know, sometimes a lot of times when there's a situation like that where the father's name isn't even on the birth certificate, bad things happen. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's necessarily bad, because, I mean, it could have just been somebody in a bad situation, got the hell away from him, like an abusive boss, you know, abusive, you know, partner, and did the best thing. But, you know, I'm not knocking anybody, but it still doesn't surprise me that no father was listed on Stacy's birth certificate. But Sean also grew up without a father, and he was born June 13, 1987, to Teresa Campbell, who was since remarried to a man named Lloyd Durham. And Sean was apparently married before his relationship with Stacy. He had eloped with his girlfriend, Dina Gabbard, since January of 2011, but by March 23rd of 2015... that kind of ended. By the end of the year, he had met and knocked Stacy Schuchert up. Okay, that time I fucked up her last name on purpose.
I could come up with some
shit chart.
Yeah.
Is that where you're going?
My chart.
Shit chart. So, but, you know, they had their first child in August of 2016, and it's really unclear when his relationship with Dina ended and his true love with Stacy began. So Stacy's first child was born in 2006, and when she was only 16 years old. It's not listed as to where all six of Stacy's surviving children are currently living and whether or not they're still in foster care. But some of her oldest children were fathered by a man named Charles Messer. I like how it says some of the children. but it doesn't appear that any of them have been placed with him.
It says that that Sean's two kids with her are in foster care, and he has visitation rights.
Okay. So still, it's just a mess all around, apparently. You know, so Ryan's family's, you know, they said they're finally, you know, I was doing so good until, what was that word that I kept getting hung up on? I'm sure Todd will know. But I don't remember her name. Shoe chart. No, it wasn't. It was, I don't know. It don't matter. But yeah, they went to manslaughter. That's it. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
That was my favorite movie growing up.
But Todd is the man behind the curtain on this episode.
Yep.
Playing a producer role. But his memorial services were officiated by Reverend Mike Sweeney. Todd. Sorry, I had to do that.
Yep. That's a good one.
But there's not much information available about baby Ryan. Sean Ryan Buttery Jr. was born on February 18th, 2018 at 1:30. He was 21 days overdue. So by the time that he was born, he weighed 8 pounds, 9 ounces.
Wow.
He was so big that he actually got stuck in the birth canal, and medical staff had to push down on Stacy's stomach and pull hard on the baby to help him emerge.
Wow.
But because of the difficulties during birth, Ryan's entire face and head were bruised. And, you know, babies' heads are, I mean, they come out egg shaped anyway because they're not solidified yet. So it's just, I kind of wonder if maybe he would have had like mental defects later on in life. Right. I mean, that doesn't mean he had to die.
No.
But still, yes. And he also had a broken clavicle as a result of that. So, I don't know. I mean, 8 pounds, and I'm going to go there. 8 pounds, 9 ounces on a woman that already had 5 previous kids. It would seem to me that she wouldn't have had that much trouble getting it out, if you know what I mean.
Yep. I agree.
But whatever. Maybe she was tiny. She doesn't look tiny in the headshots that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And that's all I've seen is headshots. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I had to go there. This is Crimes, Killers, Cults, and Beer. This isn't True Crime All the Time. I had to go there.
Yep.
Yeah, we like True Crime All the Time. They're good. Yeah. But we're definitely a lot more gritty than they are. Mm-hmm. And as of tonight, Nora, you're an honorary CKCB member.
Sweet. That's exciting.
She's like, yay, cool. Want to go do karaoke. Hurry up.
Yeah. I have an hour or so.
Okay. Well, I mean, Dead Girl's thing is like 12 pages long.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was, though.
No, I do that to Todd all the time. When I've got like 2 pages left, I'm like, oh, there's only 12 pages to go. He's like, what? But, he just called me asshole. I'm loving reading his replies to this. I'm going to read every one of them so he's here in spirit, you know? But Ryan was removed from his parents' custody immediately, and once he was ready to leave the hospital, a couple weeks after he was born, he was placed into the care of a loving foster family.
Which we're assuming is the sister, right?
No, that's not what I get out of this. Okay. No, this.
Because the sister, I'm guessing, was at some point, right? If she was the legal guardian?
It doesn't really specify. It doesn't really say. It just says placed into the loving care of a loving placed into the care of a loving foster family, and it doesn't really say that. I obviously don't think that was the sister,
right?
So obviously something happened, and it doesn't go into detail. But I wish it did, because it's just like, okay, was that the sister or was that somebody else? And something happened. It's like, okay, did the spouse die? You know, did one of the foster parents die or like have some sort of like a crippling injury or something? Where are the details? We don't know. Oh, I would like to know. We'll follow up on this if we can find that information, but it's a shame that they weren't permitted to like adopt Ryan at that time. So I'm guessing that they were taken from that family and placed with the sister for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Maybe something along the lines of like, okay, well, it's better off with family.
Right.
You know? So, Stacy thought it was better just to kill him, even though she wasn't supposed to have him in the first place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And based on the what was said in that last thing about, you know, the foster family willing to adopt Ryan, I don't think they would have called it a foster family if it was the sister.
Right.
So yeah. I'm guessing something happened to where she was taken and then placed with the Stacy's sister.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like it would make sense.
Yeah. It's still a shame, though. I mean, just don't kill your kid. And also what's missing from here is what happened to the baby that she was pregnant with.
Foster care.
Well, you would You would hope.
They put, from what I found, they put the baby and the three-year-old into foster care after this happened, and the father has visitation rights with them.
Okay. But it's just this whole thing was a mess. I mean, you know, it's just like if there was ever a case to where it's like sterilization at birth and you have to prove that you're responsible in order to conceive. This is it. This is not the first time
that's crossed my mind in this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry. If you're under 30 years old and you are pregnant with your seventh child, and you have custody of none of them other than the one that's in your belly, maybe you shouldn't be having kids ever. Maybe you should have never had a kid. You know, I mean, and it's just, you know, and Todd will, Todd says, you think? I'm going to go back to Todd's least favorite episode that we've done.
Oh, no.
Sylvia Likens and Gertrude Banaszewski.
Mm-hmm.
That woman was a baby breeding factory, and look what happened there.
Right.
I mean, I can honestly see something like happened in that case, and if you want to hear it, go back and listen to it. If you're not familiar with it, ours is pretty freaking brutal. But... Yeah, it's just I can honestly see something like that happening if Stacy is allowed to have all of her kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
No, not at all. And you know, it's just like you know, minus the drugs. It's basically a very similar situation between Stacy and Gertrude. So
right.
I mean, I just you know, it's just. It's just a sterilization at birth. Mm-hmm. You get it reversed when you prove that when you prove yourself worthy. Yeah. You know,
I agree.
Well, then people that make love kids, well, you don't prove yourself worthy if you want to have kids,
right?
I mean, I know that's not going to happen. I know it's not realistically possible, but still, it's just. How many cases out there are like this, like Gertrude Banaszewski and all that stuff? I mean, those are the extreme. Although, you know, I mean, a lot of these cases don't end in murder. A lot of them just happen with, you know, like 11-year-olds getting knocked up and everything and, you know, living with their, you know, with their 12-year-old mom, with their, you know, with their 24-year-old grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Or that whatever. Was my birth That's, family.
Well, no offense.
My mom was 17 when she had my sister, and my sister was 14 when she had her first.
Yeah, but she didn't have like a.
So my mom was 31 when she was a grandma.
Yeah. But so she didn't have like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 30, 70 kids or whatever. She just.
My sister had 6.
Damn! Yep. Is your sister a good mom, I hope?
Yeah, good. She is.
That's good. But,
yeah, her kids are right, well taken care of. Huh? Unlike this bitch. I said her kids are well taken care of, unlike this bitch.
Okay, so now we're going to get into Dead Girl's story about her. Stacy... And the baby's dad, Sean, were going to the same doctor. And I'm reading what she sent me. I'm not going to put my own spin on it. I'm just reading what she sent me. But Stacy and the baby's dad, Sean, were going to the same doctor. So she saw them there quite a few times before this happened. And then she saw Sean a few times after it happened, but before Stacy was arrested. And as she says, as far as she knows, Stacy was sober when this happened.
Okay.
She says the first time that she saw Sean after it happened, they were sitting in a waiting room, and they had no idea what had happened at all, or she had no idea what had happened at all. And he was talking to some lady saying his son had passed away, and the way that he was talking, it sounded like he was talking about something that happened years ago. It was very strange. He had no emotion, period. He was actually smiling and laughing. And a few days later on the news, what had happened, you know, she saw what happened on the news and that Stacy had gotten arrested, and she just, and Dead Girl just immediately knew that Stacy had done it.
That's pretty common in a lot of these cases that people are like, you know, honestly, it's not surprising that that happened.
Well, you can't, he's laughing and all that stuff. You can't really put judgment on that. It's like, oh, okay, well, and I,
oh no, I meant her judgment on, she felt like Stacy had done it.
Right. But I'm just like, it's like a lot of people are like, oh, well, he had no emotion, or, oh, yeah, well, he was laughing or whatever.
I shut down with grief, and I use a lot of dark humor. Like, when I'm sure people would suspect me of something if they watched
exactly
like a grief position.
I mean, when I was in, and the only reason I bring this up is because a police officer brought this up to me. When I was in that head-on collision accident, when in a semi, mm-hmm, where there was a fatality involved, a drunk driver swerved into our lane and hit us head on. I wasn't driving. I was asleep, and that's not a very pleasant way to wake up. But when the police officers got there and everything, I was fucking pissed off. It's just like, if the surviving passenger hadn't like just passed out drunk, mm-hmm, on the lawn or on side of the road, I probably would have whooped his ass. I was fucking angry. I was just like, you're just so fucking shit faced and everything. And you just cost me a week's worth of work, mm-hmm, because my truck's totaled. I was fucking pissed. Oh, and you killed your cousin too. Congratulations, asshole. You know, right? I was pissed. I was a rookie at the time. I was on the road with the trainer. And my trainer, he at the same time, he was the one that was driving, and he was just like, oh my God, this is killing me, and all that stuff. And yeah, and the cop said, it's like, okay, it's like two completely different reactions and everything. You got this guy over here who was driving that's just like, you know, he's like feeling all down and depressed and all that stuff. And you got you over here that's like ready to whoop the driver's ass. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're damn right I am, because I thought that he was like saying that I was doing something wrong, and then he followed it up and was like, no, you did nothing wrong. It's like, it's common. It's like everybody reacts to things like this differently, and you know, from a cop's mouth on the side of the road where there was a fucking fatality,
right?
You know, and it's just like, you know, but I wanted to, you know, the fucking driver was so drunk he passed out, and just like literally, I mean, I saw him. He was talking to my trainer on the side of the road before anybody got there. And it's just, you know, he just bonk. And my trainer bent down to see if there was a pulse and everything. And he was still alive. He had just passed out because he was so fucking drunk.
Right.
But the thing is, it's just like, it, you know, the reason I bring that up is because it's like everybody processes things differently. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, it's just, you can't really, you know, you can't really get, it's like, oh, okay, well, your kid was just killed, but you're laughing. Well, so what? It's just how you process things.
Yeah. Like when my mom died, my dad, like, you'd look at him and you'd be like, he doesn't give one shit about the woman he was married to for 30 years. Like,
right.
That's just how he is. He gets stoic and like, just shuts down that way.
Yeah. But it just, anyway, I wanted to throw that in there because, you know, yeah, it's just like, I don't want, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I just skimmed through all of this. Yeah, I don't get the thought that Sean was just like, hey, yay, my kid's dead.
Right.
Or whatever. And I don't know if that's what Dead Girl was trying to convey. Mm-hmm. Cause like I said, I just skimmed through all of this. I'm just like, yep, yeah, we're doing it. So, mm-hmm, but anyway, but I got to that, and I just had to clarify because I don't want people coming at Sean for, you know, that, because a lot of people will be like, oh, well, oh, you weren't mourning. Well, so what? You know,
grief looks different on everyone.
All right. So, I mean, and Dead Girl, I'm not ragging on you either. I'm just clarifying. That's all. But She saw Sean a few weeks later, and he was asking everybody if they wanted to buy, if you know, he want to buy some weed.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, I guess you got to pay the bills. Still, I don't know what dead girl's saying versus what Sean's mother Teresa was saying earlier in the episode are two different things. But of course, Mama's gonna just tell you the
right.
Yeah, he was a great boy, you know. Mm-hmm. But one thing that Sean is not guilty of is murder. She said, a few of my friends from the doctor had actually seen Stacy before she was arrested, and she had told the story. She had told them the story that the police had hit Ryan, or the story that she had told to the police was that Ryan has hit his head on the microwave, and that she had no emotion, and it was really weird. Dead girl says that she thinks possibly both Stacy and Sean abused Ryan and the other kids. And she even thinks that Sean might have had something to do with Ryan's death. But the fact that he was at work, but he also had old injuries. So he may have beaten Ryan and then went to work, and then Stacy beat him to death. But still, it's just like we were talking about earlier, old injuries. How old were the injuries? Were they a day or two old, or were they a month old, or what? You know, it just doesn't really say. It's just like, but that article that I used and that you looked at too, it's just like that's the most information that there is out there. But at the same time, it's just this article, and it's just a blog post. It's a really well written blog, but it leaves some key details out. But apparently, the details aren't there,
right?
So anyway, I'm gonna wrap it up now because that's all the information I have. Unless you found something else.
Nope, I haven't found anything else.
So, thanks for listening, and thank you, Dead Girl, for, you know, sending this episode our way. And, you know, unfortunately, Todd wasn't able to be here for this one, but thank you, Nora, for stepping up, you know, in a pinch at the last minute.
No problem.
I mean, literally, it's like, I sent her a message. It's like, can you record now? She's like, yeah. Not even 5 minutes later, she's there. So it's like, but Nora, go ahead and plug your podcast.
Okay. I've got a new podcast coming out. It's on the Surviving Network. It's called Surviving the Troubled Teen Industry. We're launching that on, I believe it is September 8th. It'll be on Tuesdays. I will get a link to you as soon as I have it, which should be tomorrow. So
yeah, it'll be there when we release the episode on awesome. Friday night.
Cool. So,
thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed it. And once again, you know, keep sending us in, you know, like suggestions and stuff. If we use your suggestion, you're going to get a t-shirt, just like Emma Herman and Dead Girl. So definitely do that. I mean, and also if you have any suggestions for like something you want to hear for like the full length episode on CKCB, definitely send that too. It's like if it's something that we haven't thought of or whatever. If it's something that's not already on the list, yeah, we look into it, and we just like, yeah, we're going to do that one. Yeah, you're going to get a t-shirt too. Doesn't just have to be for the Half Pint episodes. So
awesome.
Until next week, later.
Bye, guys.